This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, Sam and Greg. Come on, you ready for it now? You ready to give it to us?
It's a game day Sunday.
There we go.
Even though the Falcons don't play until tomorrow night.
Hey, but we got lots of games coming. We got a game coming up in 2 hours.
Yeah, two and a half hours. What do we have coming up today?
Pardon?
What do we have coming up today?
I want to say for the folks who are just joining us, who didn't hear the first hour, I had to like remind Sam that it is excitement that gets you to the television, to the stadium for these games, and he wants to argue with me because you need to have some tradition. Of course, we talked about what happened up in Michigan State. They had a little dust up before
playing?
The game.
How long have they been
playing? Okay, all right, hang on. And then we talked a little bit about the Lakers and what happened with their opening night.
How long have those guys known each other?
And Houston, and both, anyway.
Yeah.
I had said that this is what Kennesaw State, Georgia State needs as they begin their rivalry.
Not
crazy, just
you do
something
like that at the start, it'll get kicked.
I'm not talking about gunplay. I'm not talking about punching somebody. I'm talking about something that gets a little dust up between the two programs.
I want to make sure they play the game again.
What you mean you?
I want to make sure they play the game again. I think what happened is enough to bring the game back.
That's what we argued about in the first hour.
Yeah.
Now, we may go down that road again in the 7 o'clock hour, but there is more college football action that took place more locally, and something special that happened with Mr. Crenshaw yesterday.
Yeah, we got all those type things going on. College football, of course. When the day started yesterday, we still had three unbeaten college football teams in the state, and we still have three unbeaten college football teams. No, we're not talking Georgia. They did not play yesterday. No, we're not talking Tech. They did not play yesterday. No, we're not talking Kennesaw State. They did not play yesterday.
We were actually talking Kennesaw State.
I mean, they're number two in the nation, FCS.
We played somebody.
They play down in Charleston next week against Charleston Southern. Reinhardt is 6-1. They did not play. Georgia State did not play. They will play next Saturday. It will be homecoming at Pete's Place next Saturday at 2 o'clock in the take on Coastal Carolina. It'll be great. The teams that did play yesterday, Georgia Southern, they are now 6-1. Last year, they were so bad the coach got dismissed in the middle of the season. Mm-hmm. They were having a terrible time. Georgia Southern at 48-31 winners over New Mexico State winners yesterday. Mercer 59-46.
Ryan Urlacher.
Over Western Carolina. Yep, New Mexico. Other teams that are winners around the state, Barry, they're ranked number 12, D3 poll. They're now 8-0. They beat Millsaps 28-21. Morehouse got back on track. They're now 7-1. They beat Benedict 14-10. Clark Atlanta falls to Albany State 36-3. Albany State still having their homecoming. In fact, in spite of a lot of that city still recovering from storm damage and having power outages on half of the campus, they still played the game and they were winners. Maryville 37, LaGrange 17. Mississippi College 37, Shorter 24. Point 21, St. Andrews 17. Valdosta State is 8-0, number 7 in the country, Division 2. They beat North Greenville 44-21. And last but certainly not least, the alma mater.
He got his hand on his heart with his ashy knuckles.
Man, I got lotion on
he
my
hands. He got his ashy knuckles over his heart.
Now 8-0, number 3 in the nation, Division 2, West Georgia with the win over West Alabama, 27-25. But let me tell you something, folks. That was a scary game.
Why?
Who chooses to play a team that's 5-1 for homecoming? I'm looking up, because I hadn't checked the record with West Alabama. And all of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, West Georgia's lead was down to 1 point. And I'm thinking, who picked the 5-1 team?
Well, hang on a second. You didn't think that going into the season. It's like picking Georgia Southern. You wouldn't think they're going to have the season they're having this year. Same thing.
Who pick a 5-1 team for homecoming, man? You usually get a homecoming team. They know what they assume the position. They know what's going to happen when they come to town. They bring their own float. They go riding the parade because they know what's going
to I'm just having that visual you just laid out.
Because they know
there.
What's going to happen. We know what's coming. We know why we're invited to play on this particular day and what our role. These guys tried to mess things up,
man.
Yeah,
that happens.
You know, but thankfully the Wolves won. They're still undefeated at 8 and 0. And it was a great time to be at homecoming. Shout out to everyone.
You had a big day yesterday.
Had a nice time. The missus and I went down there. We had a nice time. We have a group we call like the old school folks who went to school there during the early 80s and the 70s.
Aptly named.
Yep. And so we got to hang out under an area there. And it was good to go there and fellowship and see some schoolmates and see somebody you hadn't seen. One guy since I hadn't left school who was on the track team back then, and he's back, and he's an assistant track coach at the school. So it was great to see some people that were back and back and plugged in with the school and everything. So it was a nice time, great fellowship and everything. But, you know, I tailgated for a while, went in, watched the game, came back to the tailgate, and I saw some guys getting together for a picture. And I knew a couple of the guys played on the football team back in the day because West Georgia started football in 81. I graduated in 81. And so in 82, they won the national championship. And I remind people, West Georgia won a national championship in 82, the Division III national championship. And there were practically no Division III football teams in this part of the country. Everybody they played was out of Kentucky or Tennessee or the Carolinas or Mississippi.
By the way, was there a parade after that game that
which
you won?
Game? Which game?
When you won the national championship, was there some kind of parade? When you win the national championship, you get a parade, right?
I don't know if they had a parade back then. You know what? I think they had like a big ceremony, but no parade. I graduated. And here's my thing.
You just left.
Here's the thing. They played the game. Who knew that the Division III national championship game, the Amos Alonzo Stag Bowl.
Say that again?
The Amos Alonzo Stag Bowl. He's a famous coach.
I know, but there's people out there that don't know.
Amos Alonzo Stag Bowl is one of the legendary coaches of college football, and they put his name on the Division III national championship
game. I know that,
game,
but there's folks
which Division III is non-scholarship football. Right. And there were some schools like Ithaca and who've like dominated this division, you know, over the years. But West Georgia pops up in just their second year of existence, and they get to the national championship game, and I am a very recent graduate. I'm working at WRBL-TV in Columbus, the CBS affiliate, and I'm not on the air. I'm a camera guy. And one of my assignments is to cover this national championship game. It just so happens West Georgia's in the game. And they're playing Augustana, which was a small school, Midwestern, that mimics the Big Ten. We're talking 80s Big Ten, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. These guys, you think big and slow. These guys were smaller and slower. I went to practice and watched them. I said, West Georgia's going to run. I went to practice with Augustana, and I said, you know what? West Georgia's going to run rings around these dudes because we had some speed. And I said, wait till they get on the field with them. West Georgia wins the game 14-0, wins the national championship, and I'm on the field. They're interviewing Coach Pate and everything. So yesterday, at the back of the tailgate, everybody's eating, having a great time. I showed a plate of some of what we had to eat down there. I put that on social media, too. But these guys are taking a picture. And I said, let me go over and get a shot of these guys. I know some of them played on the team. And it was the guys from the national championship team. And they looked up and they saw me and says, hey. He said, you were on the field with us that day. Come on, get in the picture with us. And I said, I'm going to get a picture. So I got a photo. I put it on my social media. At Sam Crenshaw 23, a picture of the guys from the 82 national championship team, another picture of them with yours truly, included. So it was an honor for them to invite me to be in a photo with them. It was great to see them, back there at homecoming, and we won, and everybody had a great time. So it was nice homecoming.
Did you have that situation that we all have run into where somebody comes up and knows you and starts talking to you and you can't remember their name?
Oh, a lot of that yesterday. Because there's people you ain't seen
in 30 years. Did you fess up and say, listen, man, I'm – I can't remember your name, I'm sorry.
I found some of my buddies, some of my friends. Okay, now who?
Who is that? Oh, yeah, hey, man, how you doing?
Like the dudes in the barbershop you've been seeing for years.
Yeah.
Say, hey, man, how you doing?
Yeah, you know. You
and then somebody says, what's his name?
Okay, all right. And so, but that was a good time. It was great to see people who had a chance to come back and have a good time. Plus, it made it all better. The food at the tailgate tastes better because we won.
Congratulations.
That was the thing. So homecoming yesterday, great homecoming at wonderful Carrollton at the alma mater. Good time.
What is your best memory from your time at West Georgia?
That's probably it.
Really?
You left, though, you said. Yeah, but that was I was right down the street. Not like I went away.
No, but were you at the actual game?
Yes.
Okay.
I was.
Because you made it sound like after, you left. And
no, I mean, I graduated and just so happened here comes my school to where I'm living and working at the time. And so that's one of my greatest things. I tell people what's my greatest thing. I said it was being there and actually helping to document my school winning a national championship. And that was very cool.
Okay,
very cool.
Moving on from that, but you were a cameraman, your first job in television?
Yeah.
Can you still
shoot? Don't give me. Oh, yeah.
You can really?
I still shoot. Yes.
Well, why you say it like that? I don't know. This is the first time I'm hearing it.
Dude.
We've been working together since the 50s, and this is the first time you told me about you were a shooter.
You shoot.
I always thought you came out as a reporter.
You're a reporter, but shoot.
You were behind the camera right out of shoot, huh?
Everything.
What did you shoot that would be interesting? Like, do you work any bigger games? Or was it all related to?
No, I mean, I've shot a little bit of everything, you know, over the years. I mean, I was shooting some here in town. So I mean, yeah, we shoot a little bit. If you want to do the job now, if you want to do the job now at a local TV station, you better be able to shoot. That's the only way you're going to get through the door.
Yeah, and it was a news director who just actually left. You know, what I mean? Job as a GM who used to be a shooter.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah. Over at Fox 5. So I mean, that's the thing. I wanted to know how to do that. I wanted to know how to do all things well. So that was just me. I wasn't just looking to sit in front of a desk and whatnot.
All right, you ready for some NFL action today? Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. If you're just joining us, we were just reliving Sam's time at West Georgia and what happened when these guys won the national championship. There was a nice reunion yesterday, but now we got to talk NFL.
It's that time.
And a friend of the show.
Because we got a game starting real soon.
Yeah, we do, in a couple hours. A friend of the show, Russell Baxter, is going to join us as we talk all things NFL. And you're welcome to join us if you want. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam and Greg, if you weren't listening a second ago or a little while ago, Sam, let us know. It's a what?
Game day Sunday.
You got to like that.
Just a couple hours.
You got to like, yeah. 9:20. Got you were supposed to do that last segment talking like this in honor of the game over there.
In honor of the game over there?
The game over there, going over there in England.
Well, it could be a guy
you
to
got
talk.
Tennessee, and you got yourself your Los Angeles Chargers. That's how they'd say it all wrong.
Los Angeles Chargers.
Your Los Angeles Chargers. Wait, that guy. But so anyway, 9:30. And we're going to talk to Russell Baxter. We're still working on trying to get him with us.
Well, there's a guy that talks like that who's competing in the States today. We're talking about F1. Lewis Hamilton is in the United States today.
Well, tell us about that,
Sam. Yeah, Formula One is making the one and only stop in the United States. And Lewis Hamilton from England I think he wraps up the championship if he can win today. I believe a win today would give him this year's championship, and he's doing it in the United States in Austin, Texas, which next year the F1 race is, I think, scheduled for the same week as NASCAR in Dallas.
So does he have get a celebratory hug from you-know-who after the race if he wins? Nikki? Oh,
they have been seen together, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know. But does
reminds me, he's got to put some air in his tires on the way home.
That's later on today. Usually we're talking about them because usually this time of day they're up and running. But this won't be till 1:30 this afternoon. And NASCAR, by the way, is in Kansas with Joey Logano on the pole for that race. But Lewis Hamilton is
what is game are you looking forward to? What game are you looking forward to today? Falcons are off till tomorrow night. Yeah. We're going to talk about them. By the way, we should also mention, as we do every Sunday, we're going to hear from Coach Dan Quinn.
Yes,
he joined the morning show, and he wanted to talk about preparing for this Giants game and this team that's struggling a bit, not just the Giants but the Falcons too. Now they righted the ship a little bit last week, but
now we got to go with a backup kicker.
Yeah,
man,
that's the one guy.
Yeah, he's been cash money, and he's Steady Eddie.
What did I think of? What did you think of when he grabbed that hamstring?
I thought what D led to.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's exactly.
He held out the whole, didn't play in it the whole preseason. I said, we're like, D led. We're not seeing, Matt.
I thought
Bryant.
Of D led. He just went, said, he's old.
He's old.
All right. We finally got him, a friend of the show, to talk everything NFL. Russell Baxter joining us here. Good morning, Russell.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We are doing fine. Are y'all set there? You got your little snacks for a little early morning football in London?
Yeah, are you kidding me? Fish and chips and tea.
Fish?
That sounds nasty.
I know, that's right.
That just sounds straight
nasty. Don't sound good, Russell.
Tea and fish and chips?
Yeah.
Fried food and tea?
Fish and chips are good anytime.
Yeah, that's fine, but it's the beverage that you chose.
Yeah.
You got to get yourself a pint, mate.
It's England.
Yeah,
okay.
I understand that, but you're going to drink a pint. You're not going
to
drink.
Yeah, but I understand that, but I also want to be able to write about the game before halftime.
Imagine what the column would look like if you drank a couple pints before you wrote.
Right. Can you imagine? The Atlanta Canaries.
Russell, we're talking about this game today. It's kind of a shame that Phillip Rivers have to go to the other side of the pond to really get the place all to himself because, you know, he's out there in L.A. and everybody's watching the Rams. Chargers are having a great season, and they're on the other side of the pond, and they're, you know, they're on front stage today.
Yeah, and, you know, ideally with this 9:30 Eastern start, and, yeah, the Chargers have kind of taken a back seat, and but understandably so because they've kind of taken a back seat for a couple of years, and the main reason why is they've usually gotten off to these terrible starts. And sometimes they bounce back and finish 9-7, and sometimes they don't bounce back at all. And when you saw the beginning of this season, as you know, they're 1-2, but their 1-2 was a loss to the Chiefs and a loss to the Rams. And suddenly they've strung together three straight wins, and now sitting 4-2 and only a game behind the Chiefs. You know, the biggest problem for the Chargers, who I picked to be in the Super Bowl against Atlanta, this year, has been beating the Chiefs. They've lost 9 games in a row to Andy Reid's team, and including one at home on opening day. So they're kind of their own worst enemies as far as publicity, et cetera, et cetera. And where are they playing these days? Dodger Stadium?
Yeah. Russell Baxter joined us, Sam and Greg here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Russell, yesterday, Sam made an analogy, which I'm going to apply to the NFL. He said that Purdue to the Big Ten is the equivalent of what Georgia Tech is to the ACC. Of course, they went out yesterday and took it to Ohio State. I feel the same way about any Andy Reid team. And, of course, the Chiefs are one of the big stories this year in the NFL. But it's some, they are like, they remind me of what Oklahoma is to college football in that they have a great regular season, but when it comes down to crunch time, there's something that makes that team derail. And that's how I feel about an Andy Reid team. I mean, they'll just be lights out, going back to the Donovan McNabb years. But, man, when it comes down to it, I don't ever feel real comfortable putting all my eggs in the basket of Andy Reid coach teams. I don't know if he gets with his adjustments or whatever, but it's great, though, that they are the story right now. How do you feel about this organization and them taking it all the way across the finish line at the end of the year?
Well, listen, I have a lot of admiration for Andy Reid and what he's accomplished. He is the longest active tenured head coach in the league. Now, notice I didn't say with one team, okay? You know, you go back to 1999 when he took over the Eagles. He's been a head coach 1 year before Bill Belichick took over in New England. So Andy's tenure is two teams, and of course he's always had a lot of influence and personnel and so on. But you're right, because when you watch an Andy Reid team during the regular season, they don't resemble the same type of aggressiveness. That's probably what it is. That lack of aggressiveness in the postseason that we always see. And that's why in Kansas City we saw them blow a 28-point lead at Indianapolis in the playoffs. And last year they blew an 18-point home halftime lead to the Tennessee Titans. And there's been other coaches similar. You know, Marty Schottenheimer used to get that rap as well. But you look at the explosiveness of this Chiefs team that they have right now, that quick strike ability, that could be the difference if Andy Reid doesn't pull in the reins. I don't think he can afford to pull in the reins with this team, and that's because, simply put, their defense is horrendous.
Wow.
Their most comfortable win, I don't want to say comfortable win, but you look at the games earlier this year, 38-28, 42-37, came from behind to beat Denver 27-23. They're blowing out San Francisco, and all of a sudden it's 38-27 is the final. So they can't stop anybody. Obviously, last week, didn't you not get the sense if New England got the ball even with 10 seconds left, how was Kansas City going to stop them? So, I kidded before the year. If Andy Reid doesn't make the playoffs, his team will be in the 2020 Olympics as a sprint team. Because
they are there.
Tyreek Hill, when Sammy Watkins is your slow receiver, that should tell you something about the downfield ability that they have, and Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce and Chris Conley's come into his own, but they don't stop anyone. You know, last year, if they didn't get takeaways last year, they had 26 takeaways. guys last year. They had 24-10 wins. They had 2-6 losses.
Man. Spending some time this morning with Russell Baxter on the WaitForIt.com hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at BaxFootballGuru. Okay, talk about New England. Who can slow them down? They're playing the Bears today with that defense. Give us some thoughts on that game, and can the Bears shut down the Patriots?
Yes.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what version of the Bears defense we're going to see, because the one that showed up in Miami last year, last week in the second half, was stunning. They could not find a way to tackle Albert Wilson for some strange reason. That's not a knock on Albert Wilson, but, you know, they want, and maybe it was a little bit of a letdown, guys. I mean, we found out kind of shortly before the game that it wasn't going to be Ryan Tannehill. It was going to be Brock Osweiler. And, you know, again, Brock Osweiler has struggled these last few years. He's been streaky at best. Khalil Mack got a little banged up last week, and I'll be curious to see how effective he is. But here's what I do know. This is Matt Nagy, head coach of the Bears. Matt Nagy knows something about beating Bill Belichick's defense. Matt Nagy was recently the offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs. So as we have seen, that Matt Nagy, Doug Peterson, all derived from Andy Reid's offense, has given Bill Belichick's teams fits. I mean, we've seen the Chiefs and Andy Reid teams and the Eagles in the Super Bowl last year get to that 40-point mark again. And listen, this isn't the New England defense from a decade and a half ago, but still, it's going to be very, very fascinating to see this. I mean, the Bears last week, and given the way they have played this year, I was stunned that they wound up losing a 31-28 overtime game, regardless of where it was.
Again, Russell Baxter joining Sam and Gray here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Got a few minutes left before we shut things down, and I want to get your thoughts on tomorrow night's game between the Giants and the Falcons. And my question is this. Don't you believe a team bound for the playoffs and then by extension the Super Bowl is a team that takes a game like tomorrow night against a banged up, we don't even want to say banged up, just a whatever this Giants team is, whatever you want to call them, this is where you put your foot on their neck and just keep going on the accelerator and just run up the score and work on everything that you have to work on?
Well, I hope so. I mean, to me, the most important thing the Falcons can do is win two games in a row and build some sort of momentum. We haven't seen that yet this year, and understandably so, given an amazing rash of injuries that has crippled them right up the middle of their defense. Two starting safeties, a middle linebacker, and Grady Jarrett up the middle. I mean, the Falcons have given up 150 points in their last four games alone. I mean, that's staggering.
But it's not too late for them to turn things around, though, right? We all believe that.
No, that's right. Okay? The fun thing about the NFL is watching teams get counted out after a slow start. Okay? Right. It happens all the time. No better example right now than the Houston Texans. Everybody wanted Bill O'Brien's head, and suddenly they're 3-3 along with everybody else except the Colts.
And J.J. Watt was cooked.
And J.J. Watt, 7 sacks. I've said this to you before, and I've said it on other shows as well. It's so hard to get a gauge of what this league is like 4 weeks into the season, because 4 weeks into the season, it's almost like preseason, because you really don't get a chance to practice properly during training camp. You're not allowed to be physical. The contact is limited, et cetera, et cetera. So you're worried more about players not getting hurt than you are worried about continuity, and it's unfortunate. I think we're going to see a different style of football coming down the stretch here the next 11 weeks.
Well, we'll see what happens. Russell, you are the only guest that we regularly have on the show that has playoff music.
Yes.
So feel honored.
It goes very well with tea.
Enjoy the game today, man. We'll talk to you later.
Take care, Russell.
Thanks, Russell. All right. It's Russell Baxter. Coming up next, going on the other side of the glass.
Yes.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, Sam and Greg. And it is turning out to be a beautiful-looking Sunday morning.
Looks good. Nine floors up.
Game day Sunday morning. Speaking of games, I want to remind you, we got Atlanta United playing the Chicago Fire there. 2 o'clock, 2:30 pregame, kickoff at 3 o'clock.
Huh?
Then follow. I said Chicago Fire, so I was doing a Chicago accent there.
Okay.
Hawks and Cavs, pregame 5:30, tip-off at 6, followed by the Rams and 49ers. That is Sunday night football. Of course, Falcons and Giants coming up tomorrow night. And coming up at top of the hour, you are going to hear from Coach Dan Quinn, who joined us with John and Hugh earlier this past week. But as we do on a weekly basis, we go on the other side of the glass.
Unique stories and a unique take from Bo.
Wow! Wow!
It's the other side of the glass on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, so we're about to take this to the world of science. Not sports related.
No.
Yet.
Not yet.
We're going to go to the other side of the pond, but the other side of the pond.
Okay.
The West Pond. Out to China, where China has announced they are officially launching a fake moon into the sky. You cannot make this stuff up, folks.
What?
China is launching an artificial moon into the sky made from a satellite-coated reflective material. The moon will glow in the night, illuminating the streets and cutting down on electricity used by streetlights. The moon will sit 500 kilometers above the Earth. I'm serious about this.
I know.
Oh,
no,
man, get
I'm just
out.
Trying to figure out how they bring it up there.
500 kilometers above the Earth, casting a glow that is 8 times stronger than the real moon, but 1/5 as bright as streetlights. So basically, in a sense, I mean, China's launching an LED moon up into the sky to light up their city to save electricity. Now, I can always see where this is going to end up be headed. You got China's moon 500 kilometers above the sky over here, and then you got Australia's moon 500 kilometers above the sky over here.
Oh,
is that how Star Wars is going to officially start?
Wow. I don't know.
All of our artificial moons are shadowing each other.
So it's got to follow. It's got to follow the curvature of the Earth just for that continent.
It's good. It's China's moon. Yes. So I don't know if it's going to be on like a rope.
I've eaten there
a
before.
Chain.
I've eaten there. They got great
in
appetizers.
China?
No, China moon.
China moon.
That's a great place. That's over on Buford Highway.
So we'll see. More to come on that. But yeah, now we've officially got the technology to launch planets into the space. But we can't figure out any of the problems that are going on here on the home front.
How about that?
So the Jazz Bear is officially ousted in
Ooh.
Utah. The Jazz Bear, John Absey, who plays the Jazz Bear for 24 years. Since the Utah Jazz's official mascot, the Jazz Bear, was unveiled.
Yeah.
One guy has been underneath the hood or the mask. For 24 years, John Absey, who played the Jazz Bear, has reportedly been fired by the Utah Jazz.
Ooh.
I mean, 24 years, I don't know what age this guy started.
I was just going to say.
But you got to think at some point.
He probably left some pep in his step.
Now, Jazz Bear will continue to be one of the most iconic mascots in the NBA, a Jazz spokesperson says. And out of respect of his character, which is separate from any other employee associated with it, we have never discussed his identity. Which it's like that with mascots and such. You know, the team owns the rights to the mascot.
Right, right.
You know, nobody knows who Blooper is. Nobody knows. Well, we know who the Freeze is out at SunTrust Park.
There's one other one, though.
Yeah, there is a substitute Freeze, I hear.
No, I didn't mean that one. There is one that isn't affiliated with the team. And he used to be, but not anymore.
You're talking about the chicken?
The chicken.
Oh, the chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
who's
like
the
Notre
chicken?
Dame.
How many people have played the chicken over the
Dave, actually, the guy's
sands
done
of time.
Interviews, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how many still.
But. Wait, but then the chicken owned by the San Diego Padres, he's not?
No,
not anymore.
Not anymore.
They sold the chicken?
He went freelance.
He never worked for the Padres. He worked for the radio station that the Padres was on.
Oh, so he went to them
like the KGB chicken or something, and he left the station and went out on his own.
There you go. So, y'all remember way back January 26th, NBA, well, up-and-coming star, Sterling Brown, was tased in a Walgreens parking lot at like 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Remember us talking about that? I actually brought that up here. We were wondering what the hell he was doing in a Walgreens parking lot, parked in a handicapped spot at 2 a.m. Well, Sterling Brown was on his first date, it comes out, with a lovely lady. And how about that for a first date to end? This just comes out. The lady that was with Sterling Brown has told the cops she barely knew Sterling because they were on their first date.
Wow.
Police officers aggressively handled the Bucks player whose only mistake was parking in a handicapped spot at Walgreens at 2 a.m. Got out the car and I guess copped an attitude, got herself tased, leaving the lovely young woman in the car to sort out the rest of the first date on her own. Maybe she went and bailed him out of jail. Who knows?
Did they know she was there?
She was in the car. Yeah, they talked to her.
The police talked with her. Okay, yeah. I wanted the police
and
know that,
that's why she said she didn't know the guy.
Right.
Which made it more suspicious is because they were on a first date.
Okay.
But come on, man. If you're going into Walgreens to get whatever it is you're going to get, maybe a cigar wrapper or something like that at 2 a.m., don't park in a handicap spot. You know, so Kobe Bryant is channeling his inner Lonzo Ball.
No.
By sounding off about how good the Lakers are going to be, saying the Lakers are going to surprise a lot of people and make the playoffs. Now, granted, Kobe Bean Bryant, one of the best to ever play the game, very intelligent individual, may know what he's talking about, and 50% of the teams, let's face it, in the NBA make the playoffs. So they do have a flip of a coin shot, but a mixture of vets that are still in their primes and young kids that are hungry, open-minded, and willing to learn.
Yeah, you don't think
he must not have met Lonzo yet.
But you don't think LeBron's going to coach these guys up? They're going to play well. They're going to make it, I believe.
You think?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, they won, what, like 35 games last year? So.
Yeah, but it's LeBron. Think about those players that were on Cleveland that got traded from L.A. They're going to go down the abyss this year. That dude can coach folks up.
We shall see. So Conor McGregor makes good on some Boston firefighters by taking some of the $50 million that he just made by getting beat up by Khabib, and he's buying 10 Boston Firefighters World Series tickets.
Really?
Yeah. Kudos to you.
Yeah, really.
Conor McGregor
yeah.
for helping these guys celebrate the Boston Red Sox being headed to the World Series. He is also hooking them up with some of his super hard to find proper number 12 whiskey. The whiskey distillery that he said he was going to go buy after the $100 million that he made after the other fight with Mayweather.
Okay.
So Conor McGregor out there doing good with his money.
That's where he's going
to
be.
Got paid $50 million to get choked out in the second round.
Yeah, how about
I'll do it. Come on, sign me up.
How about that?
Sign me up. A little fantasy football notes. By the way, you can head on over to 929thegame.com on demand, then go to podcast. Find the fantasy football podcast that does not have a name again. So the soon-to-be-renamed, formerly known as the Fantasy Flex podcast that I do with super producer and co-host Brian Gebhardt. Every Tuesday afternoon, you can find us right there. We do send the link out via Twitter. Also, a couple of notes, though, this week. A couple things happened after we recorded the podcast. Carlos Hyde got traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars this week, meaning that Leonard Fournette's injury is a little bit more serious than we have been disclosed, or they have disclosed to us. I would not rush into starting Carlos Hyde this week. He may not even dress. Keep an eye on that. The biggest thing I would take away from the Carlos Hyde trade is that Duke Johnson should be owned in every league, especially PPRs, from the Cleveland Browns and Nick Chubb also. I think Nick Chubb's probably going to start out with some goal line work, as that's what he's been used of so far. Duke Johnson's probably going to be the number one guy until Chubb takes that from him. Both players should be quality adds for the rest of the season, and Marshawn Lynch is likely headed to the injured reserve list. He has not been placed there yet. Doug Martin is not the running back, though, in Oakland that I am wanting to own. It's going to be Jalen Richard, especially in PPR leagues. Jalen Richard has out-touched Doug Baldwin 48-31 on the season. So if you're looking for some running back help this week and in the weeks to come, go look at Jalen Richard. And you probably already own Carlos Hyde, or he's already owned in your league. But slow your roll on him. He is going to end up being a good pickup for you this week, though, or this season.
All right, there you go. Other side of the glass. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.